If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
The show that takes you home. The Home Stretch with Sterling Holmes on ESPN Kansas City. 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Welcome to the Home Stretch, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, and Facebook Live, live in studio on a beautiful Monday afternoon. Kyle behind the glass, and Todd Lebo coming in just a moment. He's too busy for us. You think Lebo's going to be on time?
He was on time last time.
He gets one a month.
One a month?
One a month where he's on time. Him, Briscoe. It makes me laugh every time. The people who are actually in the station are always the ones late. The people who you have to track down somehow are always on time.
Here?
No, you're here. You're in the... That's my point. You're in the station.
And very you're busy.
You're a busy man.
I'm talking. We have a lot of radio stations. I had to be down there doing some other things. I run a lot of things.
What do you?
I'm a very busy person.
You run a lot of things besides, you know, running.
Oh, running! I don't run. He called
Boom.
Me fat.
No, I'm kidding.
He called me fat.
I'm kidding, Lebo.
You are kidding.
You might be the most your top three in shape person at the station.
No, I don't think so.
You're probably top. You're top five.
No,
man. Of on-air staff, your top five.
Oh, the people
we're not
who
kind
talk
of sales.
On the radio?
No, Sandy, no chance. He does triathlons. He's out of here.
The people,
sales staff, but they're in shape.
You put me with Saran and Curtis.
Steven. But he can
back box.
Yeah,
but he could run away from him. His back is so bad.
Yeah.
Nate's clearly in better shape, but he's breaking down.
Yeah.
Jason Anderson's skinny and all that.
He's skinny, but is he in shape?
Briscoe's sneaky. Don't know about him.
Yeah,
he's young.
He could be the wild card.
I'm an older man. I'm having a hard time with my belly right now. I'm being fat.
What do you mean with your belly?
Nah, just that's where all my weight is right now. I'm still doing my good exercise.
Where you carry it.
I'm feeling lean in my arms
and
legs. You're
looking
cut. All in my belly.
Spelt.
I've got some definition in my arms.
Well, why do you always hide the guns then?
Well, you know what? It is hot. I almost took this jacket off earlier. But I don't know if the people on the Facebook are ready
The people
for this
want to
show.
See it, this show. They got to pay for it.
They're not ready for this show.
You actually got to pay.
Is this an OnlyFans?
It's an OnlyFans.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope not. Anyway, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
I am doing good.
You're a Missouri man. You're an SEC man.
Yes. But, it means more.
But you're also a grown up on the Big 12, right?
Sure. Did I wear a purple dress shirt when K-State played the Sweet 16? You bet your ass I did.
How about on the Elite Eight?
I bought a purple. You know those, actually, the lavender zip-ups?
Yeah, but that didn't say K-State.
It didn't say K-State.
It was the Vineyard Vines or something.
No, same one. The Nike ones, those quarter zips, but it doesn't say K-State because I'm not a sucker. I'm not paying all that money.
No.
But I'm going to buy the generic lavender one because it was on sale for $38.
Yes. So, but you didn't want them to make the Final Four.
I did want them.
You did?
I was rooting for K-State.
How about Texas?
I don't like Texas.
There you go.
And they're going to come to the SEC.
They're coming to your league.
And I'm going to still dislike them.
Yeah.
There's a couple teams in the SEC who I still dislike. Tennessee's the main one.
Right.
I can't stand Tennessee.
Are you over Kentucky now? That football thing was a problem for a while where they kept winning.
Kentucky, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they won again last year when I was at the game because Kentucky just gets lucky calls, like the roughing the punter.
Well, he got roughed.
Or,
he was in the pocket.
No, he was. You will not. I was there. I was right in the I was
they
on the field. There was a wrong
Here's
call.
Here's the question, though.
Does it go all the
so
way to St. Louis?
So were you rooting for K-State because of your life that you have right now?
Or my girlfriend.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about. It's about your girlfriend.
It was a combo. It was my girlfriend. But I still like K-State. I've had no – even when Mizzou was in the Big 12, I never had this anger towards
You didn't like it when K-State made Larry Smith cry and beat him 60-something?
I mean, I wasn't happy.
No.
But I never had the same anger towards K-State. It felt like they were almost cousins.
Mm-hmm. You both hated Kansas
together.
Hated
KU together.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
That's basically what it was.
Yeah. So as a, here's how I found for myself as an Oklahoma grad who has been hurt in recent years by K-State. For some reason, we lose these dumb football games.
Sure.
And it makes you mad.
Well, they were good.
Yeah.
K-State had a good year.
They were a good football team.
And basketball.
It's
I mean, great good
year
for them.
For them. Great year for them. And, then, and they've just, you know, so it's been a bother that they've won some of these games. So on Thursday night, I was rooting for K-State. I felt it.
Yeah.
I wanted to beat Michigan State and get to the Elite Eight. And then I kind of wanted them to win the whole time on Saturday till the end. I was like, I don't think I want them to win.
Well, it's also
that was just like my real feelings coming
My real feeling was K-State. But I will say it's enjoyable seeing a 9 seed in this position, right? It's still fun to see FAU, a small school. They've never gotten close to
it's
here.
There's actually more students there than Manhattan.
Is there really?
Of course. They're all bigger than, you know, these schools down in Florida are huge. You just don't know it. Like, Central Florida has like 50,000
students. Oh, yeah.
Students.
I knew they were massive.
And I looked up Florida Atlantic. They've got 30,000 students. That's more students than
sure.
Manhattan. There's just so many more people. Now, their gym holds 2,900 people, and it looks like smaller than every high school gym around here.
Yeah, that was tiny. I saw that picture. Yeah. Florida Gulf Coast, I'm pretty sure, had a lot of students, too. Like, you remember?
Yeah, I think it's probably a little smaller than Atlantic because it's Florida Atlantic is over there on Miami side where all the people live.
I remember looking, though, up Florida Gulf Coast and being like,
that's Fort Myers.
Well, I go, why am I not going to school here? I'm in the middle
you
of Missouri,
there.
Frozen. Yeah, I love Fort Myers.
That's
great.
Your area.
Sanibel.
You have a home on your island right now. Right?
Yeah, but the hurricane, kind of.
But no, your home was fine on the hurricane, wasn't it?
The home was fine, yeah, but Sanibel Island's torched, and I feel awful because I love Sanibel. And my favorite bookstore in the world, not a hyperbole, June's Books is gone.
Yeah.
That actually hit me.
Kyle, do you read
hit me
books?
Hard.
No, see? Same.
I've read 14 this year.
That's good for you.
Read 14. I'm working on War and Peace as well, and that one,
that's
let me tell you,
read.
Leo Tolstoy, he sure knows how to...
Get the Cliff's Notes on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Florida Gulf Coast only has like 15,000 students.
Yeah.
So it's
but still more
school.
Than you think, though.
Oh,
you wouldn't think that tiny school or whatever it was in the March Madness. That was when I was in college, like 2013.
Mm-hmm.
They made the 15 seed.
They beat...
Were they a 15 seed?
They call them, what they call them, Dunk U or something. Something. Their coach is at USC now, right?
By the way, how about the coach for Miami?
Jim Larrañaga?
Going from a Final Four at George Mason to an Elite Eight last year with Miami and then a Final Four this year.
Pretty good.
He looks like a younger, nicer Jim Boeheim. Have you ever noticed the similarities?
I don't know how old he is.
He's 73.
Yeah, it's a little younger than Jim Boeheim.
I said he looks younger.
Yeah. Florida Atlantic has 30,000 students, 24,000 undergrads, 30,000 students on that campus. That's more people than go to K-State, I think. Yeah, those are
comparable.
Big schools down there.
Comparable.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have nice weather. You got
there's a lot of people. Florida's got a lot of people.
Lot of beaches too.
Yeah. They say there's 24,000 people at K-State. That was an old number. Let's see what the numbers are now.
Honestly, but the number rises anytime.
Lowest fall semester enrollment in 34 years in Manhattan last fall.
No, but I'm saying upcoming few couple years, I bet it rises. When you have success.
The headcount is 19,000 at all of the K-State campuses. That's
smaller.
That's a lot smaller than Florida Atlantic. Who was the underdog here? Come on.
But I will say, don't you think K-State should get some enrollment rises when you have.
Yeah, that's what sports are
an
for.
An Elite Eight.
It's
when
a
you,
marketing thing for you. But, you know,
great year for them.
It's what are you going to do? You know, you don't have a kid going to college right now. You don't know what it's like, how expensive it is. What are you going to do? You got your money saved up for that? Maybe they're not going to go to K-State. Maybe they'll go to Johnson County first.
Help
there's
me
probably
out.
More people
I don't have
Johnson
a kid.
County
I don't have to worry about this at this point.
That you know of. What do you
I think I would know.
Do you think so?
Probably. Hopefully.
You're the one person who wouldn't know.
Why is that?
How would you know?
I mean, I guess because you're saying I'm the male, so
yeah.
I wouldn't. I'm not the one who's actually. I get it. I guess
you get it.
That sound logically, Bo, and I'm sure this is what the
How about
folks
this?
Want.
Florida International, 55,000 students.
FIU baby.
FIU. That's insane.
Powerhouse.
That's wild how big these schools are now. I think I remember 70,000 people at UCF.
Jeez. Hey, Big 12.
B1-2.
Is that what you're going with now?
They say B1G for the Big Ten, so I think you start saying B1-2.
Just roll with it?
Sure. Sure.
I hate it, thanks.
You hate it?
Yeah, not a fan. B1-2. B12 is a vitamin. You're going with the vitamins now, B12?
Those are the good ones for you.
Do you have your B12?
Roger Clemens was getting the B12s, was he?
Allegedly.
I don't know. I thought they settled that.
You think he got popped?
Yeah. Only 50,000 at South Florida. The schools are freaking huge.
Yeah.
Miami's actually a pretty small school. It's a private university. Miami is.
Smart, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
They had a good year, too. They're in the Final Four, and their women's basketball team was a 9 seed. Went to the Elite Eight. Yeah, I will say Iowa is so fun to watch, women's basketball. Caitlin Clark, she had 40-point triple-double. It's like Jimmer Fredette. If you guys
don't... Why weren't they a 1 seed?
No idea. Their record's good, too. I mean, no one's beaten South Carolina because they're basically a WNBA team.
Well, they'll be the first matchup. That'll be pretty cool.
And it's going to be incredible because it's going to be Caitlin Clark basically trying to throw up 60 points against a WNBA team.
Why not? Do it.
That's going to be fun.
It'll be good. It'll be good. And your Kansas women are in the women's Fab Four.
There you go.
Wednesday night.
I will also say UConn. UConn as a 4 seed this year, and they just destroyed Gonzaga. Won by 30 points. They're incredible come March. Them and Michigan State. Tom Izzo.
They find a way.
I've been to UConn before. I don't know how many students go there, but it's a pretty small campus. It's kind of not what you expect.
It's probably the biggest school in Connecticut, but that's, once again, not a place with a billion people.
I've been there, and they had two bars. Two bars.
And stores?
And you can't walk to them.
Why?
They're in the middle of, like, the woods. It's like you're going to a house party in the middle of the woods. My friend's like, hey, let's go to this bar.
It says there's 30,000 students up there. See, our schools are pretty small around the Midwest here. You know, a lot of these schools are just huge in these other areas. You know, there's a lot more people in those states, like, you know, the Big Ten schools, Ohio State, Michigan,
sure.
Penn State's a monster, Texas A&M. Most of them around here were always about 20, 25,000 people at the schools, and that's pretty standard.
But yeah.
There's no shame in losing that game. I think the K-State thing and the Missouri thing are pretty similar. They both exceeded expectations for the year. But in the end, you're like, we lost to who?
Yeah.
You know, and there's no shame in it because it's the tournament. And crazy things happen in the tournament. But
and Princeton looked good.
Yeah.
Against FAU, actually.
They did for a while.
Yeah.
And you know, they you just go, you're like, wow, we lost to FAU. We lost to Princeton. K-State has now lost to FAU, Loyola Chicago, and Butler.
Okay.
In their last three.
KU has, well, they've also had more success, but you know, Bucknell, Northern Iowa.
Yeah, those weren't Elite Eights. I'm talking about the Elite Eight. KU's bad Elite Eight loss was VCU.
Sure.
Everything else is like you lost to, you know, UCLA or something like that.
Mizzou's only one was, what, UConn?
They lost to UConn in one, and they lost to a little school called Oklahoma in 2002.
Don't remember that one.
You don't remember that one?
No.
I remember it.
Sure you do.
It was a good one.
But I will say, too, Jerome Tang seems like a great guy, great head coach. I know some folks found it a little cheesy, him going into the FA.
He's a cheesy guy. But there's no question he's cheesy.
But the thing is,
he learned
for
19 years with Scott Drew, who is the cheesiest coach that I've ever covered, interviewed, or been around at all. But it's like real.
I'm not,
but
that's the thing.
It's cheesy.
Like Russell Wilson seems cheesy, but it seems forced.
Yeah.
Jerome Tang seems like
real
he's
cheese.
A legitimate good dude.
Authentic aged cheese.
Parmesan, baby. Yes. That's that Gouda.
I'm telling you, that someday, you know, there have been a couple of documentaries done, and we would have seen a lot more stories about this had K-State won, because now you don't do a story about it. But you guys are young. When were you born, Kyle?
98.
98.
Dang, and, you are young.
You're young. So in 2003.
Get a bad back like the rest of us.
At Baylor University,
there was a
student who was a basketball player who shot another student and killed him, right? So this was July of 2003. And their coach at the time, this guy named Dave Bliss, lied and covered it up, and it was awful. It's one of the worst stories that there's ever been. So he had to resign in August of 2003. So the basketball season's coming, and you have to have a coach, right? Well, they couldn't have anyone on the staff do it because they fired them all because they were all complicit in this thing. So they had to go hire someone, and they found Scott Drew, who was a head coach at Valparaiso at the time. So he got hired in August of 2003. He brought two assistants from Valparaiso. And then he had to find someone. He'd never recruited Texas, never been in Texas, anything like that. So he went and found someone. But people didn't want this job. This was as toxic a place as there was in maybe the history of college basketball.
Yep.
They literally had a player kill another player, and they tried to cover it up. So he goes down to this little weird private high school that's not even like a public school. It's this, you know, it's a Christian school that has 150 people at it. But he's the head coach there, Jerome Tang. He's been the coach there for like 10 years. They had a player who scored 100 points in a game one time. They were crazy, just doing all this weird stuff. And so he hired him. And then I think he got hired in September. So this guy got hired like 6 weeks before they started playing basketball games. And he didn't have a college degree yet. Jerome Tang didn't have a degree because he was working at a, you know, an undercredited high school. So he didn't have to have a college degree. He had taken classes online and stuff. He didn't get a college degree online until 2007. It was like 4 years into his job. This is one of the greatest stories you'll ever see. And then he stayed there at that school for 18 years or whatever it was, 19 years. And then he got hired at K-State and almost made the Final Four in 1 year. And the fact that Baylor, by the way, you want to have your mind blown. Baylor's good, right? Baylor won the whole thing 2 years ago. This has been a program for a while. So I was looking this up, looking some stats up. Scott Drew is when did Scott Drew – he started in 2003, the 2003-2004 season. When did Scott Drew get his Big 12 record over 500? What year? He started in 2004.
Well, those first years.
They were bad. So I'm going to tell you this. It wasn't early.
I would say 20. His cumulative.
Yeah, his cumulative Big 12 record. Not the overall record.
Oh,
where you get to play everyone else's. Just the games against, back then, it was A&M.
Yeah, yeah.
And Colorado, Nebraska. But now it's everyone. His Big 12 record.
2013.
Last January.
Really?
That's how far down they were.
Well, you're going to have a couple weak years.
They went 3-13 their first year in the league. Two of the games were against A&M, who went 0-16, so they were even worse.
I was going to say, frankly, 3-13 is pretty impressive.
It was.
They
beat Melvin Watkins in his 0-16.
Sure.
It was great. But then they stepped even backwards and went 1-15. They had a year, their third year, when all the NCAA finally caught up, where they didn't allow them to play non-con games. Their season didn't start until January. That's what this school was going through. And all this persistence paid off with Jerome Tang, and he learned all this stuff from Scott Drew. And then eventually they've turned into an Elite Eight, a perennial team in the tournament, and won the whole thing. But they just last January got their Big 12 record over 500.
It's incredible.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it is. The perseverance, the time.
So I've seen some documentaries about that time. There was a Baylor documentary about the Dave Bliss and all that stuff. But it's not so much the ripping down. The building up, I think, is more interesting at this point. I would love to know what those, like, 2 or 3 years were like for that staff.
Sure.
Getting through that.
That'd be horrendous. I mean, different, but Alabama this year, and we don't know what the repercussions might unfold in the future, what might transpire, who truthfully knows, but you saw something, I don't want to say similar, obviously, Baylor's.
Well, listen, that was a bad thing in Alabama. Someone went out there and had a gun, and they shot someone. This dude shot his teammate.
Yeah.
Like Aaron Hernandez style. Took him out and killed him, you know, and left him for dead.
It's horrible.
Like, it's unbelievable. And that, so they had nothing. And the calendar doesn't stop. You have to play games, right? So they had to hire a coach. And Jerome Tang was one of the first people to take a job down there. It's crazy.
Jerome Tang going from that to this phenomenon.
And it hasn't been overnight, right? This has been a long time.
It's been a 20-year process. 03 to 2023. It's a 20-year process. Yeah. But again, shows perseverance. And again, don't think this is an act. I don't think this is a facade.
This is what he is.
This
man.
Is who he is.
Yes.
And I do think K-State has a good one. Who knows how that plays when K-State isn't doing as well, when you don't go to the Elite Eight.
Find those players, man. I mean, they built a roster in like 3 months.
Yeah.
Well, now he's had year to kind of get his fingers out there.
He had Keontae Johnson.
He didn't have him. He had to go get him.
No. My point is, though, you had Keontae Johnson this year, and you had Marquise Noel.
Yep.
You won't have two of the, I don't want to say best players, but two of the better players in college basketball. You had a transfer in Desi Sills. And again, this is what
they're
he did.
Transfers.
But this is what he did in a short period.
Yeah.
What can he do going forward? I will say, though, you got to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. You're not getting many players better than Keontae Johnson or Noel.
So the transfer portal, I mean, it's not as crazy as football quite yet. It's about to be. Kansas has four players already in the portal, you know, going out. Missouri got a kid today from Colorado State
who looks guard. Looks like DeAndre Golston, but hopefully passes more.
Yeah.
But looks a little. So
they're going to have to do that because, you know, they're getting a lot of guys who aren't going to be there next year for K-State. But he proved he could build a roster in no time, and he's going to have to prove it again.
Yeah.
Great season, though. But disappointing to lose to Florida Atlantic, because if you ask most people where's Florida Atlantic, they won't even know.
Do you think Marquise Noel has a chance to go pro? Because if he was
in the NBA,
and hear me out, I saw this on Twitter. I'm drawing a blank. I think it was Johnny Carver found this. He would currently be the shortest player in the NBA.
I believe so. Yeah. How could he not be? He's 5'8".
Yeah.
How many people are under 6 foot in the NBA?
Well, I don't think there's any right now.
Handful.
I don't think there's any right. Maybe there's one or two. I don't know how tall like Jose Alvarado is or one of those guys, but
they may call. Trey Young, 6 feet, but if he's not by much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Marquise Noel is legit 5'8 or less. He is super small. But you can do it. It's a different time now, though. You know, you see the pictures of Muggsy Bogues and Spud Webb and those guys.
Sure.
Different game back then. You just stood outside and threw the ball inside.
Yeah.
Boy, the big dudes are out with you now.
Well, you've got to do something. But there's also a reason why. You're not seeing a ton of, like, 7'3 guys or 7'4 guys.
Right.
You're seeing Embiid's almost and Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Davis. You're starting to see a lot more of the 6'9", 6'8". You're not seeing those guys because if you can't move, you can't keep up with those three-point shooters. If you're stuck down low, you're not getting on the floor. There's a reason why, you know, Boban Marjanovic, who's 7'3", 7'4", isn't getting out there.
Right.
Can't keep up.
Can't do it. It was a great year, though. And, the Final Four, I don't know what's going to end up happening to this because I don't know if the interest of the country will be on it because people who aren't affiliated like brand names, and these aren't brand names.
Is this bad for college basketball almost?
Well, you know, they had – if you go back and look, I think the 2011 Final Four that was actually in Houston had kind of a similar feel as far as seeds. But one of those seeds that was an 8 or a 9 was Kentucky.
Yeah.
So they weren't quite Cinderella-like.
And George Mason was an 11 – and that was even more Cinderella-like, and it felt different. Because I remember watching that when I was young. The George Mason one was different, because that was
2006.
But that was such a different feel, right?
Right. It was totally different feel. This one, I mean, if the games are good, people will watch. You were sitting there Saturday. You watched all the K-State game, right?
Correct.
How glued to the UConn game were you?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Because it wasn't even terrible. Fun.
It was unwatchable. And so yesterday, entertaining games. I mean, they weren't both crisp, but they were down to the wire. So you watch those things.
Correct.
If they get a UConn up 30 game, people aren't watching it.
Sure.
Ratings are built. First, you got to get the eyeballs there.
Yep.
And that's where Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Villanova Final Four gets the eyeballs there. And then if the game stinks, they're turning it off. But the cool thing now, I think, is – okay, so let's say people aren't fired up about San Diego State,
sure,
Florida Atlantic, but it's 5 o'clock or maybe 6 o'clock on Saturday, and then Twitter starts going, oh, my God, you believe this game? There's been 17 threes made it. And then people go, oh, well, maybe I'll watch that. So you can help kind of get the word out that there's a good game going on. But will it be destination TV for a lot of people? Probably not.
For this guy.
Well, it is for you. You'll probably have action on it.
What I will say is, this is why I go with offensive-minded teams in March. This is why I typically go with offensive-minded teams and not the Tennessee grind them out, the Virginia grind them out. What did FAU do well? They scored. San Diego State's a little different than they used to be. They're not the Kawhi Leonard, grind it out. They still have a little bit of that just being in the Mountain West, but they're still a fairly offensive-minded team. Teams like Creighton, that's an offensive-minded team.
Yeah, they wanted more points yesterday. They didn't like that pace. He wanted more pace, and they couldn't get it going. And Miami loves to score.
Miami.
They love it. UConn loves to score.
And that's my point is, March, this is why you go with the offensive-minded teams. This is why I think Mizzou was way more fun to watch for Mizzou fans this year. They were offensive-minded compared to the Konzo Martin. We're just going to grind it out. It's not fun. Yeah. Even if you win, it's not a fun and enjoyable game. It's why K-State was so enjoyable this year as well.
They score points. Up and down. Yeah.
And again, I think you can find success in today's March Madness doing that. If you can't score, if you can't hit threes, guys like Tomlin, big men who can stretch the floor. If you don't have that, it's tough. I think KU had some issues this year. With K.J. Adams, he was a huge improvement, right? More than folks thought. But if you couldn't stretch the floor,
no, you couldn't stretch it. With
the combo of DeJuan Harris, who's, in my opinion, like the best defensive point guard. I love him as on the team. But then you have to have a five who can stretch the floor.
Didn't have enough shooting.
That was the issue. You only have Grady Dick and Jalen Wilson. I just thought it was fascinating how you see the correlations continue in March.
Yeah, for sure. It was fun. Listen, the tournament's always great. And you have to, in the end, the margins are so thin, and it's a single elimination. There's no redos. There's no nothing. Kansas lost by a point when their coach, you know, had surgery before, and he's got to be worth 2 points in a game.
At a minimum.
You know, and Florida Atlantic, their closest game they've had so far was round one against Memphis. They won that game by 2 points. Mm-hmm. They were losing with 5 seconds to go. There was a tie-up on the floor where Memphis called a timeout. It should have been their ball with 5 seconds
to go.
He was looking only at the ball, did not see out of his periphery that everybody was calling a timeout. Should have been Memphis's ball. Chances of FAU winning that game, if Memphis is up one with the ball throwing it in, are about 0.5%. Chances of them winning the game when they get to inbound it from their side, right there, not even bringing it up the floor, probably more like 50%. I mean, you still got to make a basket, but they were dead if they'd given that timeout to Memphis, and they won that game and survived. But then did they have to play the one seed? Nope. They got that laid out in front of them. They didn't have to play the one seed, so they got a little breather, and they won that game. And then I'm not saying they haven't earned this.
Sure.
But you have to have a little help here and there.
Oh, for sure. I think even Kansas, to an extent, all I heard from my KU friends, even before the games were played, was Arkansas is not a good matchup for this team.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not a good matchup for this team. I don't think Arkansas is a great team. They were a preseason, you know, top 10 team. There's a talent. Musselman's obviously a good head coach, even if he is a little bit eccentric, wild, popping the top off after a win. Seriously, though, popping the top off after you win to go to the Sweet 16 is a little...
It wasn't a win to go to the Sweet 16. It was a win over Kansas. Those are two different things.
I get it. A win over Kansas to go to the Sweet 16. It's still a little...
They're beating the defending champion. That's how that is.
Without Bill
Self. Why do people run on the floor in a game in March or in February? It's just a game, right? You run on the floor because you beat Kansas.
I get it.
That's how that works.
It just seemed small school to me.
Well, he is a little small school guy.
Arkansas is not a small school. Eric Musselman has coached in the NBA.
Barely.
3 years.
Yeah. Parts of 3 years.
Sure.
I don't think he finished.
I don't think he finished all
this. He's a weird dude, man.
Yeah. I just thought it was a little much.
That's what they do.
A little much. Let's take a quick break. Come back. I want to talk Lamar Jackson. I want to talk a little Kansas City Royals and talk Southern Rock with Lebo. Homestretch, ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to the home stretch, ESPN Kansas City. What were you about to do right there? You're about to do something.
No, this is not Southern Rock.
No, it's not Southern Rock. But you had a strong Southern Rock take.
I said, what is Southern Rock?
And I said Lynyrd Skynyrd.
And I said, yes.
Allman Brothers, I think you could probably throw in there.
Yeah.
You know it when you hear it.
I think that's right.
I would say Blackberry Smoke.
I think that is too.
The Black Crows.
How about the Eagles?
No.
How about some of those country songs that are theirs?
I don't like the Eagles.
I'm not saying you have to
No, I get it.
How about this song? You know this song? You know this, the Pure Prairie League? Amy, what you
Oh, yeah, it's a great song. Yeah. Great song.
Is that Southern Rock?
That, part of it is almost yacht-rocky.
I think it sounds like Southern Rock.
Part of that's yacht-rocky, though.
But the other part of it is, like, they're from Ohio. Can you be Southern Rock from Ohio?
I don't know.
Because the way I'm curating a playlist,
America's not Southern Rock. That's definitely more yacht rock.
Yacht rocky. I think to be Southern Rock, you have to sound like Southern Rock, but you also have to be from the South. You know what I mean? Like here's a good one. You know Little Feat, the song Dixie Chicken. I mean you know it if you heard it.
Sure.
It sounds very Southern Rocky, but they're from like L.A. So that I don't think
it does. It doesn't count.
It's a
poser.
So
Southern
here's,
rock.
I mean, Lynyrd Skynyrd is the
that's
poster
the,
child.
That's yes.
And the Allman Brothers, and you know, 38 Special. You know, Molly Hatchet.
Molly. Oh yeah. I have not heard Molly Hatchet in a long time.
Here's a good one though for you. Like Tom Petty. He's from Florida. He's from Jacksonville.
But Florida's not. Jacksonville's kind of the South.
Oh, it is the South. So, that's where Lynyrd Skynyrd and all those guys are
from. A lot of Florida's not the South. The panhandle of Florida, that's the South.
That's the South.
The key is, do you serve sweet tea? If the answer is yes, then you're Southern. It's the South.
Yeah. So I think Tom Petty, some of the early songs possibly would, but then I think some of them aren't. So
sure.
He's like a 50-50.
What about John Cougar Mellencamp?
Now, see, that's Indiana.
And it's not quite there.
I don't think that's
Southern.
Well,
Southern Indiana, though, has sweet tea.
I don't know if I would call John Cougar or John Mellencamp or John Cougar Mellencamp Southern rock.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
It's a good question.
It's a good one because some of the songs have that feel. Right?
Shine. No longer the Allman Brothers, the band that the guitarist and bassist formed.
Dickie Betts and them?
No.
But I mean, I think the black
Soul Shine. You know, I'm talking about
that's an Allman Brothers song.
Yeah, but then they redid it with.
But see, that's so. I think that absolutely counts. Those folks do count. But I think when you get on that periphery of like, because John Mellencamp,
Government Mule,
yeah, that's was the dude from there. Yeah. That counts as well. So, but John Mellencamp has some very small towny songs, right? I was born in a small town, you know. But
little pink houses
for you and me. Yeah.
Well, as a little George Bush, I kind of gave right there for some reason.
I saw John Mellencamp perform live when we were out at American Tahoe for the American Century Championship one time. And I think he was chewing like Nicorette gum. He spit 400 times.
Sure.
The concert, just spit.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I don't know if I need to see this.
I don't think he needed just a wad in there.
Not like at the crowd. He would just spit on the stage.
Just a little. Did he get a little spitter at least?
I think whatever he was doing with his like Nicorette gum made him very thirsty or something. He was just spitting.
It's horrible.
It was weird. But I was thinking about this because a couple of weeks ago, you know, Gary Rossington, who was the final member of the original Lynyrd Skynyrd, passed away.
Yeah.
And that's what got me thinking about Southern rock, and I was making a list of songs, and I was doing – I did a little bit of a deep dive on the Allman Brothers because I watched this documentary about their keyboard player, and there's a lot of songs out there that are really good songs that aren't songs that you know.
Would you count ZZ Top?
That's an interesting one. They're a Texas band, and they're from Houston, South Texas.
But they're more like bluesy
more
rock
bluesy,
to rock.
But so, I mean, Allman Brothers are bluesy rock.
Sure, but again, you kind of know it when you hear it.
I wouldn't call like Sharp Dressed Man Southern
no.
rock.
But you're talking like
LaGrange. Southern rock, for sure. Or... you know, Jesus Just Left Chicago.
Jesus Left Chicago, yeah.
Or maybe even like Heard It on the X, some of those songs.
Trace Ombres.
Yes, I think some of those would be.
Okay, hear me out. Atlanta Rhythm Section.
Yes, but see, they're a little more yacht rocky.
Yeah.
They're definitely like, I mean, they're from Atlanta, but they're like, that's I'm so into you.
That yeah, doesn't, so, feel, yeah, does,
that doesn't
fit.
Feel. Doesn't feel it.
Got it.
So.
Charlie Daniels.
Oh, Charlie Daniels.
Charlie Daniels.
And so then that gets to the next question. So Southern rock, because Charlie Daniels definitely, because those songs aren't, they don't feel all country. Like there's like the, what's the long-haired,
long-haired
Southern boy or something like that.
Well, that's David Allan Coe.
The Georgia, Devil Went Down to Georgia, obviously, but there's another one. There's another kind of Charlie Daniels band song like that. But then what about a band like Alabama?
That's country.
It's country.
That's not. I wouldn't go Southern rock. That's straight up country.
Straight country.
That's straight country to me.
Aren't they? But then they sing. You gotta have a fiddle in the band. Those songs yeah. sound like rock and roll.
But you gotta have a fiddle. But they have a fiddle in the band.
Yeah.
That's country to me.
You want to play in
Texas?
They gotta have a fiddle in the band.
The lead guitar is hot tonight, yes. But not for a Louisiana man.
So those things kind of sound
Louisiana.
That almost sounds a little rock and rolly.
Man, that to me is that's country.
I agree with you, I think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because you wouldn't say, like, Willie Nelson is Southern rock.
Whiskey Myers, I would say Southern rock.
Yes.
I like Whiskey Myers.
But who is a country band would – because Charlie Daniels is mostly considered country.
Correct.
But there are two or three songs that sound like – I mean, like, even, like, Hank Williams Jr., a couple of those songs might sound a little Southern
sure.
rock.
Sure. I think you
I mean,
know,
you could almost go yacht rock with Alabama on some of those songs.
You know it when you hear it. You know it when you
so
hear it.
So we can't pigeonhole a certain band. You
hell,
hear the song.
Hell, Kid Rock has
exactly.
Some,
he's got some absolute Southern rock sounding songs, but he's from Detroit. Can you put him on a list?
I don't know, man. This is a...
It's a tough one.
It's a good one.
Yeah. You need to talk to some experts tomorrow at lunch and tell me what you think.
That's Wednesday.
Wednesday. But like, because you know, Kid Rock definitely has some Southern, especially some of his newer songs.
Well, we'll end with Marshall Tucker Band.
We can
agree with that one. Marshall, absolutely. There are a couple bands you just know.
What are your three favorite Marshall Tucker Band songs?
Well, the long one.
There's two of them that you know.
Yeah.
The first one is Can't You See?
Can't You See?
And the other one
What
is
That Woman's
heard
Done
it,
to
heard
Me.
Heard in a Love Song.
Heard in a Love Song.
Okay, be wrong.
By the way,
I went a deep dive on Marshall Tucker, not this too recently, but it was like last summer. And their first record, I think the one that has Can't Be Wrong, or no, not that one.
That's Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
No, that's different.
That's Spin Doctors.
The one that has Can't You See What This Woman She's Doing to Me. There's this song, I think it's called Losing It or Losing Me or something like that. It is excellent. Sounds perfect, but there's like a 30-second sax solo in it. I was like, what is this?
Did you say...
Why is there saxophone in this band?
You did not sound like you said sax.
Sax solo.
And I,
what would a sax solo be on
record? Well, now you see my confusion. The look on my face was one of utter confusion.
It was, I think the
disgust.
Song is called Losing Whatever, but it's on like their
They're
first
losing
record.
Some, it's not losing virginity, is it? Because apparently there's a sax solo on
sax solo. There used to be a guy on the practice squad for the Chiefs had a Marshall Tucker Band shirt. He used to wear it all the time.
Oh, got it for you. Who sings All the Way to Memphis?
That's Mott the Hoople. They're British.
Mott the Hoople.
They're British. That
song, though.
Can't go. You can't be
But
from
they're
Britain.
Going to Memphis.
You can't do it.
Have you heard that sax solo in there?
Sax solo.
Solo.
The song's called Losing You. It's the third song on Marshall Tucker Band's first album. Listen to that on the way home, and then tell me if the sax solo sounds so out of place.
Well.
The next song is called Hillbilly Band. You can't get more Southern rock than Hillbilly Band.
By the way, I'm probably in the how many people in the world who are my age know who Mott the Hoople is?
Mott the Hoople.
Okay, apparently not even me.
Not too many. Who was the lead singer in Mott the Hoople?
It's probably some dude named Mott.
No, Ian Hunter.
Oh.
Who had a solo career of his own. Let's bring it all around. Ian Hunter wrote the song Once Bitten, Twice Shy.
Great White.
Great White gets it all back to your rock and
roll. Boom.
Band. See? Great White. Mott the Hoople.
That's a great song.
Mott the Hoople sang All the Way to Memphis, and they also sang All the Young Dudes, which was written by David Bowie. And I think he actually sings on that, but that was a lullaby I would sing to my daughter.
Great White Nazareth. Two good bands that
I think
always...
Nazareth's also British. Maybe.
Nazareth. Hair of the Dog.
Hair of the Dog. And
Love
Hurts. Love Stinks. Kyle's like, he's never heard of it.
Yeah, you don't know what we're talking about over here, do you?
Do the Black Crows count?
Yeah, you know that. You
yeah, we got it, yeah.
They absolutely count as something.
Hard to Handle, which was a cover of Otis Redding.
Yeah.
We learn a lot in this show.
Well, that's what we're here for, to teach the people.
We're here to teach the people.
I think that Black Crows' second record is maybe one of the best records.
Which one was the second one?
The Southern musical.
Oh, that one was.
It's so good. And the first record's got some good stuff on it, for sure. But the second one, it's just a little grittier, a little less produced. And it's got Remedy and
Remedies. Yeah, Southern again, Harmony and musical.
My favorite song on there is...
Thorn of My Pride, Remedy is really good.
The best song on there is Sometimes Salvation. So good. And it's not one that got played on the radio. So good. And there's a Bob Marley cover, the very last song.
Time Will Tell.
Oh, it's a great one. Great one. Bob Marley cover. Bob Marley.
They were great.
And they were on a tour, and they got messed up by COVID, where they were playing the whole first record, whatever it's called. Mm. They would play that whole thing front to back, and then they played some other songs.
That's awesome. I
would have loved to have seen that.
All right. Before we take a break, Lamar Jackson.
Nazareth from Scotland. They don't count.
They don't count. Well, yeah. I didn't say they were Southern rock. I just said Great White and Nazareth sometimes remind me of each other.
Right.
Come on, Lebo.
Mott the Hoople. I'm almost sure they're English.
But Lamar Jackson.
They're from Herefordshire.
Yeah.
That's right outside Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Lamar Jackson, I think, a fit in Atlanta.
What do you understand exactly what he tweeted?
Apparently, since March 2nd.
But is he still a Raven or what?
I guess technically, right?
Yeah.
Because the Ravens haven't done anything. So he tweeted a letter to my fans. I want to first
Read
thank you for all of the love and support you consistently show towards me All of you are amazing, and I appreciate y'all so much. I want you all to know not to believe everything you read about me. Let me personally answer your questions. In regards to my future plans, as of March 2nd, I requested a trade from the Ravens organization, for which the Ravens has not been interested in meeting my value. Any and everyone that has met me or been around me knows I love the game of football, and my dream is to help a team win a Super Bowl. You're all great, but I had to make a business decision that was best for my family and I. No matter how far I go.
So what decision has he been made? He's not going to sign a franchise tag. That's what he's saying.
Basically.
Is that what he's saying? But he didn't say it.
No. So, sounds to me, he's been wanting a trade since March 2nd. The Ravens have not acquiesced. And
they don't think he's worth what he wants.
I don't know if any team is thinking that he's worth what he wants. If you want a guaranteed contract in today's NFL, you can't be a run-first quarterback.
You don't think? It's a great idea.
If you can't be injured the past few seasons and especially miss the most important games of the year, it's not going to happen.
As much as anything, if I'm another team, I'm a little bit leery about how he just didn't play at the end of last year.
Or travel. The rumors that he didn't travel with him.
It seems to me like he might have been more interested in this next contract than last season.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a red flag for me if I'm going to invest in a quarterback.
And no one's saying he's not a talented player. No one's saying he's not a game-changing quarterback. But I do think some people are saying you have to have the right offense surrounding him mm-hmm. to make the most sense. I think Atlanta makes a lot of sense. I think Atlanta's offense, going from Marcus Mariota, which was kind of a run-first offense, would make a lot of sense. You have, you know, Kyle Pitts, Cordell Patterson, Drake London. You have some weapons down there, but you're not focused on passing the ball. You put him in New York with the Jets, is that going to have the same success? That offense up there is made for a Aaron Rodgers or a Derek Carr, not necessarily a run-first quarterback.
How about Washington?
I think Washington could make some sense. But again, they're not necessarily a run-first team, but they are more of a, at least under the previous regime, a grind-the-ball-out type of team.
How about San Francisco?
Be great. He'd be great in San Francisco, and that's the one team I'd say, as a Chiefs fan, you don't want him to go to because they would be the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, who cares? Let him go.
But that Super Bowl would be tough.
Are they going to guarantee to make the Super Bowl?
Yes, yes.
They're guaranteed both teams, to make the Super Bowl.
Both teams lock it and pin. I'm being facetious, but if they were to meet, that would be a crazy game. The 49ers would be the favorites in the NFL if they were to land Lamar Jackson.
Right.
They're trying to with Trey Lance. They're trying to get a cheaper version of him. That was the thought process. Let's get a guy who can run a lot, very athletic. I think Trey Lance has a better arm, but they're both not super accurate, right? Mm-hmm. Outside the numbers, that's been the knock. I think that'd be great for the Niners. Not good for every other team in the NFC.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see what happens. But the weird thing is, like, he says he's made a decision. I guess he's made the decision he's not playing for the Ravens. Sounds to me like he's closed the door on playing for the Ravens.
Well, Deshaun Watson obviously sat out, so there's been precedent for this before.
Now, did he sit out, or did they tell him you can't play? Kind of two things.
That was kind of before, though, the whole...
Well, yeah, Houston just said, you don't have to come here, we're going to give you your money. If he doesn't play, the Ravens aren't giving any money.
Correct.
Deshaun Watson got paid because he had an investigation going on and was just there. So this, if he doesn't play, this is a I'm sitting out and I'm not doing anything.
The Le'Veon Bell almost situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's every franchise tag until they sign. You know, Orlando Brown had a tag, didn't have a contract until, and he actually showed up to camp without a contract and participated in training camp. Not the other stuff, but he came to training camp. This doesn't sound like he's getting anywhere near any facility doing anything about nothing. So,
the past 2 years, 33 touchdown passes, 20 interceptions, and has missed 11 games. So you're good for missing 5 games a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's only played a full season his MVP year. Is that the only
Probably,
time he played
yeah.
them all? In his first year, he wasn't the starter at the beginning. And he has won a playoff game now.
Correct, yes.
He's won one, but he hasn't. He hasn't been to a lot, and he just didn't really get involved this year at the end. I don't know how hurt he was or what the deal was, but it seemed to me like we weren't around it every day.
Sure.
But if we were around it, if that was happening in Kansas City, it would have been, it's day-to-day, we'll just see, we don't know, and it would have been super
it's always
frustrating.
Day-to-day.
It would have been really frustrating if that was your team.
The Ravens are in a tough place, though. Because they've built their team
around
Lamar Jackson. Yeah. John Harbaugh even said, they came out, we built our team around Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
That's the guy we want to be our quarterback. And it's going to be bad either way. If the Ravens move on from him, they're on full-on rebuild mode. You would have to imagine.
Yeah.
So they try and run it back for one more year.
They're still a solid team. I mean, even without him last year, they were able to win games.
They've gone 3-9 in his absence.
That's the number. But last year they won enough games to make the playoffs, and they should have won.
They held on.
And they should have won their playoff game.
They held on.
Without the dumb fumble.
Sure. But again, it happened.
It happened. And it was a dumb play by their quarterback.
They're 45-16 when he's played, 3-9 in his absence. But again, there's 11 missed games over the past 2 years, which means the injuries are starting to take a legitimate toll.
Yeah. It's not a great deal. But, you know, listen, man, that's why it's great to be a Chiefs fan.
What was that, John Gruden? What was that, John Gruden? Listen, man.
Hey, man. Listen. Not going to hear me. That's why it's great to be a Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
They have a quarterback who is locked up and is willing to play all the voodoo you can with his money
to
make sure he's got players.
And the Jets, where they keep saying he's going to be a Jet, Aaron Rodgers. Robert Saleh said that Aaron Rodgers will be a Jet. But nothing's finalized. That has to be terrifying.
What's that trade going to cost? The Packers, they don't have to give him up.
No.
They can just, if the Jets have basically wagered everything that he's going to be a Jet, so they can just keep putting the screws to him.
I just want Rodgers to become a Jet, and when they start off 0-3 or 1-2, he tries telling the New York fans and media to R-E-L-A-X, and he has none of the goodwill, he has none of the Super Bowls, none of the MVPs.
Nothing.
And that's going to be interesting.
You mean Super Bowl.
Sorry.
Don't say
Super Bowl.
Don't say
MVPs.
Yeah.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Come back. Finish up the show talking Royals home opener Thursday. Home stretch here. ESPN Kansas City. Now, this is Southern Rock. Black Crowes. We can all agree here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nails. Mm. What we hope is nails is Brady Singer and the rest of the Royals this year. What are your expectations? Home opener's Thursday. Weather should be nice. It's supposed to be windy.
It's a lot better than it looked.
But I was at the home opener last year, and it was cold, very windy.
Mm-hmm.
It was that rain, slush, kind of wintry mix
awful.
Last year.
Awful.
This year's supposed to be, you know, 66 is the high, but windy.
Well, what I expect out of the Royals is probably not a ton of wins, but I expect them to have renewed spirit and energy, because this is last year at the end of the year after the trades and everything, they were an entertaining team to kind of watch, and they had all that bounce to them, but that was like some of those guys had just gotten the major leagues.
Sure.
And we'll see if you can kind of keep that going on if the losses pile up in April.
Well,
when you lose the bounce in May,
they kind of do this the past what 4 years 5 years now, where they start off relatively strong, have a brutal stretch, but then they end the year on a good note, on a high note, right? And it has that renewed spirit for the following year.
Let 7-iron on the 18th hole. It brings you back to golf.
That's what
course.
It is. All of a sudden, you're like, I'm having a horrible round. I'm 3-jack and everything. All of a sudden, last hole of the day, you pipe
Stick
a drive,
one.
And you're like, all right.
I think
okay.
I got this figured out.
Yeah. You finally just you hit a 7-iron to 12 feet. Like, wait a minute. Roll one in. You're like, let's play 18 more, but you can't. It's nighttime.
It's dark.
You got to wait.
Yeah, now the Royals have had to wait this whole offseason.
And then you get to hole one, and what happens?
They're going to have a workout on Wednesday, open to the public. People are going to go watch that. We'll have a chance to talk to some of these guys. I was down there at spring training, but that seems like 2 years ago now.
Sure.
But it was, I don't know, a month ago, 6 weeks ago. I guess it was early spring training. We left on the 18th.
Oh, yeah,
I forgot about that, actually.
I
was down there. So it's been 5-6 weeks, but it seems like forever
ago. You don't even have your tan anymore.
No, it's all gone. It's all gone. But, you know, listen, there's some things to be excited about the organization.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the specific players on the team, but the organization with the way they're approaching things. We want to see better things out of this pitching.
Sure.
Than we've seen in the past, because Cal Eldred was public enemy number one among Royals fans.
Well, and you've heard some comments come out that make you think, okay, maybe there actually is some merit to the pitching staff being better.
I don't think they handled everything great.
Sure.
You know, for those 2 or 3 years. I mean, they kept Cal Eldred around. Dayton Moore was not the GM. But he was. And, you know, it's sad that that's the way that whole thing ended. But now it is a new regime.
Yes.
And it's all fresh and new. We will see how it goes. I mean, I'm excited to see how it goes for him.
And they have some pieces that make it exciting. Brady Singer, the way he ended the year, which was a legitimate, I would say, I don't know if you would say ace, but I would say ace on this team.
It was ace-like.
He was top 20 pitcher, top 30 pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Bobby Witt is an exciting young player you should be excited about. Vinny Pasquantino looks like he wants to be the face and the voice of the fun times with the Royals. That's good.
Salvador Perez is continuously raking. You have MJ Melendez who gave some hope. You know, Michael Massey, and you have some players that are exciting to watch. Obviously, Drew Waters was someone I was very much looking forward to. We won't see him at the start of the year, but it could be into April, maybe May. We'll see him. I think what they did with the pitching staff is interesting. They brought back Jordan, or they brought Jordan Lyles in, a veteran pitcher who's never had a lot of upside. He's not going to have a lot of upside, but he can eat
innings.
Someone's
got to pitch, man.
And Zach Greinke's not going to have a 2.9 ERA, but
someone's got to pitch.
They have a little higher floor, I think, than last year.
Well, in my opinion. You know, listen, they got a measuring stick right out of the chute. Minnesota's a pretty good team.
Damn good team.
They get to play them, and they get Toronto. So they got seven games at home.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Those are teams. We'll see how they do. You know, it's fun. Opening day is always exciting because everyone starts out even.
Yeah. Home stretch here,
could
ESPN,
be a
Kansas
toast
City.
In 2 weeks, but whatever.
Back live in studio tomorrow at 3 to 4 p.m. Until then, we are out.